Hello everyone and welcome back to F1 Lights Out. I'm your host Michael Lang and today we'll be looking back at the Bahrain Grand Prix, including qualifying from Saturday and then Sunday's race, as well as looking ahead to this weekend's Chinese Grand Prix. So the tyres for the Bahrain Grand Prix, which Pirelli brought to the race weekend, were super soft, soft and the medium tyres. Now, there's a couple of points to note before we get to the qualifying. Friday was the day where ideas were put to the teams in relation to key ideas for changes to the 2021 season. Some of these included a cost cap for the development of the cars across the teams, keeping the same engine as there currently is, the 1.6 litre engine, but with further limitations, and also diversity in the race weekend, the potential of having a qualifying race on the Saturday rather than just the one lap showdown. So those ideas were put forward by Liberty to the team principals on Friday, and we'll have to see where this goes. Of course, 2021 is looking to be the big season where the changes are coming in for, and from a development point of view in terms of the cars and the engines, teams are going to be starting to develop those cars this year. So we should see some fixed ideas, some fixed requirements, I suppose, coming out fairly shortly so that the teams can then start developing these cars in line with the new regulations. A couple of other pointers. Raikkonen had the early pace from practice, so it'll be interesting to see where he fit in on qualifying. Vettel had a barge board issue back from practice, which was sorted ahead of qualifying. And Lewis Hamilton would be going into qualifying with a 5-place grid penalty for a gearbox change. Now, this was actually an issue which came about from Australia. There was some form of leak within the gearbox, so he would be going into Saturday's qualifying knowing that he would start the race with a 5-place grid penalty, so it'd be key to see where he fitted in terms of qualifying. So qualifying one, not a huge amount happened. Well, I say that there was one fairly significant crash. Hartley came out with a front wing damage, so he had to go back in, which just meant he lost out on his first run, I believe. And Verstappen crashes into the wall at turn two, which brought out another red flag in qualifying. Of course, we had a red flag in the third session of the Australian Grand Prix. So Verstappen out, but he'd already set a time. So he had set a time quick enough to go into qualifying two, which is why you'll see, although he was effectively eliminated because he had set that time, he would actually be classified within the qualifying two period. So at the end of qualifying one, Raikkonen had the fastest pace, followed by Vettel and then followed by Bottas. Those eliminated from the back of the grid was Stroll, Leclerc, Sorotkin, Ericsson and Grosjean. At this early stage, the Haas team were struggling to find a bit of that pace that they'd had in Australia. So into qualifying two, Lewis Hamilton, who of course is getting that 5-place grid penalty, comes out on the soft tyre, indicating a different strategy for the race. So it'll be interesting to see where he came out. And of course, he managed to get a quick enough time. But then on his second stint, he actually came out on the red super softs. Now, it was decided, I think, in the commentary, or mentioned in the commentary, I should say, that he was possibly doing that to set up the car for a run in Q3 on the super soft tyres. As I mentioned last week, or in the Australian Grand Prix, that you start the race, if you get through to Q3, you start the race on the tyres for your quickest time in Q2. So, of course, Lewis coming out on the soft tyres meant that as long as he qualified into qualifying three, that he would then start the race on those soft tyres, which can go longer into the race and therefore break up the strategy a bit, considering he would be getting that 5th place grid penalty. So at the end of qualifying two, we've got Vettel in 1st place, Hamilton with the 2nd fastest time, and Raikkonen with the 3rd fastest time. Those eliminated from the back, of course, Verstappen. He couldn't race because he'd crashed out in Q1, but he'd already set that time. So he was out. Van Dorn, and then Alonso, Perez and Hartley. So the McLarens not doing too well in the qualifying, lacking a bit of pace, Hartley and Perez as well. So the top 10 shootouts, not much really happening. Raikkonen was setting the early pace on the first run. However, it actually turned out that Vettel clinched the pole with a cracking lap. Raikkonen was in 2nd, Bottas in 3rd, and Hamilton could only manage 4th fastest, which means he would start on 9th. The other top 10 was Ricciardo in 5th, Gasly for Toro Rosso, a superb 6th place in qualifying, Magnussen 7th, Hülkenberg 8th, Ocon 9th, and Sainz 10th. Now, of course, with Hamilton moving down 5 places, that would bump up Ricciardo, Gasly, Magnussen, Hülkenberg, and Ocon all up 1 place. So that was qualifying. There were some good laps coming in, but apart from Verstappen crashing quite dramatically in qualifying one, there wasn't a huge amount to qualifying. So we get to the race. So here's your starting grid for the race on Sunday. Vettel on pole, Raikkonen 2nd, so it's a Ferrari 1-2, which is great to see. Bottas in 3rd, Ricciardo in 4th, Gasly in 5th, Magnussen in 6th, 7th with Hülkenberg, Ocon in 8th, Hamilton back in 9th place, Sainz in 10th, Hartley in 11th, Perez 12th, Alonso 13th, Van Dorn 14th, Verstappen back in 15th, Grosjean in 16th, Ericsson in 17th, Sorokin 18th, Leclerc 19th, and Stroll in 20th. Entertaining start. Bottas got a great start, managed to get ahead of Raikkonen into 2nd place, and we also then see Perez spinning around with after a couple of turns. Lap 2, Verstappen goes past Hamilton but picks up a puncture because he cuts across the front of Hamilton. I don't think there's much Hamilton can really do, and unfortunately Verstappen picked up this puncture at turn 2. So he has to then limp back pretty much the whole way round the circuit to get back to the pit. And then we see Ricciardo out of the race, unfortunately stopped. His engine completely cut out, or the electronics, I'm not sure which one, but the electronics certainly cut out from the steering wheel. And this brought out the dreaded virtual safety car. Now, that helped Verstappen a little bit, managing to get back to the pits without losing quite so much time. But it's devastating to see Ricciardo go out so early, especially as he had started the race in P4. So Verstappen on lap 3 managed to get back to the pits and went on to the super soft tyres. Lap 4, there was contact between Magnussen and Gasly, but not too badly. And then lap 5 with Hamilton. Hamilton had been kind of going through the field, making up some places, and then down the home straight. Lap 5, Hamilton managed to get past 3 cars. He overtook 3 cars in one go on the pit straight. It was a fantastic overtaking manoeuvre, and he's making up places all of the time. Verstappen, though, Verstappen had to retire on lap 5. Again, managed to park the car up in a service road. I'm not sure what the issue was. Also after that, Hamilton managed to get past Magnussen. And then on lap 8, Hamilton was past Gasly, which meant he was then up into 4th position. 10-second penalty on lap 9 for Hartley for causing a collision. And then lap 10, Perez was the first person in for new tyres. But there was actually quite a a bit of a stint before the other people started to come in. So 19, you saw the leader Vettel come in for the soft tyre, that's the yellow tyre, and then a lap later Raikkonen came in for the same tyres. Lap 20, Bottas pitted for the medium tyres, so going slightly different to the Ferrari, going from the super soft straight onto the medium. Now, of course, at this stage, Hamilton started the race on the soft tyres, so he was able to go a bit longer. So, lap 25, we can see Vettel closing in on Hamilton quite easily and eventually actually overtook Hamilton to recapture the lead. So I think the life of those soft tyres of Hamilton, which he had started the race on, was starting to come away, starting to drop off quite dramatically. So he was losing a lot of time each lap to Vettel, and Vettel managed to overtake him. So on lap 26, Hamilton pits for the mediums, which is indicating a one-stop strategy, the same as Bottas, because the medium tyres are going to last even longer than the soft tyres. So they're looking to go to the end of the race, whereas Ferrari, who had pitted back on laps 18 and 19, were on the soft tyres, so that was indicating a two-stop strategy. Lap 34, Hamilton, we could see, was maintaining the pit window to Vettel. So what Hamilton and Bottas were trying to do, especially Hamilton, because Bottas was already was still in third place at this stage, what they were trying to do was maintain a pit window to Vettel, because the idea was that Vettel and Raikkonen would still have to stop for their second set of tyres, because they had gone on to the yellow soft tyres so early on in the race. So what they were doing was keeping within the 23 seconds, which I believe it was either 21 or 23 seconds, which was the time it takes for you to do a pit stop. So Hamilton was maintaining that window to Vettel, assuming that when Vettel came in for his second stop, Hamilton would be able to get ahead of Vettel before he'd exited the pits. Lap 35, we saw Gasly come in for his second stop. That was the start of the second stop window coming up. And then lap 36, a very unfortunate incident. Raikkonen on the Ferrari came in for his second stop. Now he's set into the box. He was on the yellow soft tyres at this stage, and he was going back into a second set of super soft, the red super soft tyres. It all seemed to be going fine in the pit stop, and then when he left, there was a mechanic at the left rear tyre who got run over. He got flown to the floor. I believe he broke his leg in two places. And what had happened was, it seemed that all of the other tyres had come off. The new tyres had gone on. However, the left rear tyre hadn't come off at all. The green light went for Raikkonen, so Raikkonen put his foot down. And unfortunately, the mechanic holding the new red tyre for that rear wheel, that he was still on, so he was still in position to put the new tyre on to the wheel nut, was unfortunately still in the way when Raikkonen went out of his pit box and he got run over. Of course, Raikkonen told to stop immediately, stop, stop, stop. He had the wrong tyre on and he just hit one of his mechanics. So Raikkonen had stopped a little way along the pit window. You had a mechanic on the floor, the medics were coming out, I think a stretcher came out, but they didn't close the pit lane. So you still had cars, and this was peak. If you were on a two-stop strategy, this was peak time for you to come in to the pit stop. And I think it was Force India. Raikkonen's car was close to the Force India's pit garage, and one of the Force Indias had to come in for a pit stop. And the Ferrari mechanics were telling him to go round, because Raikkonen's car had just was stopped on the pit lane. So that was terrible scenes. That also meant, because the mechanic was down, I don't know what Ferrari's strategy was for Vettel at the time, but that might have decided Vettel's strategy to stay out, because there was a mechanic on the floor of the Ferrari pit area. So they couldn't bring Vettel in to change his tyres because there was a mechanic there. So what they decided to do was Vettel stayed out. So Vettel had to nurse his tyres. It was clear to see that at this stage Vettel was going to stay out on the soft tyres that he had changed on lap 18. Yep, on lap 18, through to the end of the tyres, and therefore holding off the Mercedes of Bottas and Hamilton. So, not much else happened. Lap 44, we can see that Grosjean's car was having some issues with one of the side barge boards, and bits kept on flying off on the pit straight. Luckily, they flew off to the side and they didn't go into the crowd, but I was quite surprised that they didn't actually pull Grosjean in, but he did actually stop for new tyres and they cleared away some of the loose parts of bodywork. At lap 51, we can see that Bottas, who was in second place now, was closing in on Vettel. Of course, Vettel's times were coming down because the life of his tyres were dropping off so dramatically. So it was looking as if Bottas might be able to catch Vettel to overtake him for pole position before the end of the race. However, Vettel drove superbly well to maintain those tyres for such a long period of time, for 39 laps on the soft tyre. It was fantastic tyre management by Vettel. Lap 57, Vettel came along for the win on his 200th career start. A fantastic race for Vettel, a brilliant win for him. Bottas in second and Hamilton came in third, with the three of them, of course, only having stopped once. So your results for Bahrain were as follows. Vettel with the win, of course, Bottas in second, Hamilton in third. Pierre Gasly with the race of the day. It came in a fantastic fourth place for Toro Rosso Honda. Of course, that's raised some eyebrows now, but a fantastic race by Gasly. Magnussen as well in fifth, Hülkenberg in sixth, Alonso in seventh, and Van Dorn in eighth. Some really good, good finishes for the McLaren boys up in seventh and eighth. Ericsson was in ninth, and Ocon came home for the last points position in 10th. Sainz was 11th, Perez 12th, Hartley 13th, Leclerc 14th, Grosjean back in 15th, had a torrid day of it, Stroll 16th, and Sorotkin in the last finishing place of 17th. Three retirees, Raikkonen, of course, Verstappen and Ricciardo. So a bad day in the office for Red Bull. So your drivers' championship at the end of the second race of the season. Vettel, of course, two race wins on 50 points. Hamilton in second with 33 points. Bottas, 22 points. Alonso then in fourth place. Great to see Alonso back up there in 16 points. Raikkonen fifth with 15 points. Then Hülkenberg in sixth with 14 points. Ricciardo in seventh with 12 points, together with Gasly with 12 points as well, who's actually in position 8, but the same points as Ricciardo. Ninth is Magnussen with 10 points. 10th is Verstappen with 8 points. 11th is Van Dorn with 6 points. 12th is Ericsson with 2 points. 13th is Sainz with 1 point. And 14th is Ocon with 1 point. All the other drivers haven't registered a point so far. And the Constructors' Championship, of course, Ferrari in front with 65 points. Mercedes not too far behind, only 10 points behind on 55 points, because, of course, Bottas and Hamilton have both finished high up, but Raikkonen didn't finish this race. McLaren in third with 22 points, with Red Bull close behind on 20 points. Renault 15 points, Toro Rosso 12, Haas 10, Sauber 2, Force India 1, and the only constructor not to register any points so far is Williams, which is such a shame to see, but hopefully they'll start to sort some things out and get some positions soon. So that is your Bahrain Grand Prix, and I must say it was a fantastic Grand Prix to watch. Plenty of overtaking, almost maybe a bit too much overtaking. Maybe it was a bit too easy with the DRS detection zone on the, especially on the pit straight. But it was entertaining to watch and see all of the fantastic overtaking that had happened. So just some stats for you. fastest lap was of Valtteri Bottas with the Mercedes, which was a 1:33.740. That was the fastest lap, and you actually had Hamilton in second and Romain Grosjean in third. Actually, just a quick note, Alonso was in fourth with the fourth fastest lap. So, what is the next race? Well, next up, we've got the Chinese Grand Prix, which is this coming weekend. So, we'll have a quick look at China. This is a slightly strange circuit in Shanghai, in that you often don't get very big crowds in China. There's a lot, especially in the back half of the circuit where you have empty grandstands. It just looks a bit strange, but I think it's a fantastic race circuit. So what we have is two DRS detection zones. There's 16 corners in total. You have, I believe it's the longest straight. It's the back straight. It's the longest one in Formula One. And you have the second DRS detection zone along the pit straight. You've got a huge corner consisting of turns 1 and 2, which loop around to about a 270, I think, degree turn for turn 1, goes into turn 2, and then it turns back on itself on turn 3, which is a great opportunity for some overtaking, and it's all hell breaks loose usually at the start of the race. Also, turns 12 into 13 is another long looping section onto the back straight, and down the back straight into turn 14, which is quite a tight hairpin, is also a good overtaking opportunity, especially with the DRS. So you have 56 laps. The first Grand Prix in China was 2004. It's a 5.451 kilometer race, and the lap record is held by one Michael Schumacher from 2004, which is a 1:32.238. And if we look back at 2017, Hamilton with the win and Sebastian Vettel came second with Max Verstappen in third. The fastest laps, Hamilton again was the fastest lap of the race with Vettel behind. Just starting grid, again, Hamilton, Vettel, Bottas, Raikkonen, Ricciardo, Massa, Hülkenberg. So not much change by the looks of it in terms of qualifying and then the race win. I think this is quite a good circuit for Mercedes, so it'll be interesting to see how Ferrari fare alongside Mercedes and whether Red Bull get rid of some of those gremlins in their car at the moment. It should be a fascinating race. It's always entertaining, and it would be nice to see that midfield battle carrying on. Can the likes of McLaren stay up there? What can Toro Rosso do? Can they get further up the field? And what will happen to Williams? Can they have any better luck from the last two races? We'll see. Join me next week for a rundown of the results of China, and I will see you then.